Thank you, Alistair. If you could turn with me to the book of Revelation, we'll start in chapter 1 in a few moments. Just very quickly, up on one of the slides there, you would have known an invitation for morning tea if you are new to the church, so you've just come along recently or interested in joining us here at the church or visiting today. Down the stairs, which is as you go out here, go down the stairs and there's a room on the right of bottom kitchen. Linda and I would love to meet you afterwards, and Alistair and Stella. And Stella's ducked out. She said to me before she left, "I love you, honey, but I've got morning tea to prepare." So it had nothing to do with my message, apparently. So, if you'd like to join us, we would love to answer the questions you may have about our church here in an informal setting. So we have discovered through this study series, this is our sixth week now, our final sermon, on the names of Jesus, the power in his name. We've seen a varied and very impressive list of names that have been given to Christ, and that wasn't all-encompassing in those six short studies. We know that. But what we do recognise is that this Jesus and the power that he has, this Saviour of ours, is a magnificent Saviour. He is wonderful, lovely, the one who paid the price for the sin of all humanity, the one who was brutally murdered on a cross, the one who was put into a tomb and rose again on the third day, and after appearing to hundreds of witnesses, set sail to the heavenly realms where he sat down at the right hand of the Father. And this same Jesus will come again in his glory. I don't know what your expectations are, and I hopefully you have high expectations that he will come soon to gather us and to take us to be with him. For all of those who wait for Jesus with expectation of that, we know that we have said yes to Jesus Christ, to who he is, to what he has done for us, and we have committed our lives to him as our Lord and Saviour. And we wait for him, hopefully in obedience, in love, and adoration for our heavenly future. I am reminded of a story. I walked around the streets one day, and out of a crack in the concrete, I saw this flower just sitting there. Beautiful, but in the dryness and the harshness of the ground, there was this beautiful flower just sitting there by itself in a desolate wasteland. And in Christ, I think that's a picture of us. How he's turned us from who we once were into a prized possession and a trophy of his grace. Out of a dry and harsh land, we bloom with all the radiance that he has for us. I want us to see the hope in that picture that we have. But he is more magnificent. We may be a solitary flower in a crack in a hard ground, but he is blooming and radiant forevermore. Let's pray. Father, I thank you for the love that you have for us and what it cost you by sending your son. I pray as we study this Alpha and Omega today, this son of yours, that you would lighten and gladden our hearts of what is to come. What is to come, Father, is that we will look upon your Son face to face and get a glimpse, as John shares through these snippets of Revelation, of how magnificent your Son is. I pray that our hearts would be gladdened, our worship would be strengthened, our love and adoration for you would be magnified, because of the beauty of your Son. We give you thanks in Jesus' name. Amen. So we got a bit of reading to do in Revelation chapter 1. I want to start with verse 4 in chapter 1. John, to the seven churches that are in Asia, grace to you and peace from him who is and who was and who is to come, and from the seven spirits who are before his throne, and from Christ Jesus, the faithful witness, the firstborn of the dead, and the ruler of the kings on earth. To him who loves us and has freed us from our sins by his blood and made us a kingdom priest to his to his God and Father, to him be the glory and dominion for ever and ever. Amen. Behold, he is coming with the clouds, and every eye will see him, even those who pierced him, and all the tribes on the earth will wail on account of him. Even so, am. Amen, not am. Amen. Sorry. I am the Alpha and the Omega, says the Lord God, who is and who was and who is to come, the Almighty. I, John, your brother and partner in the tribulation and the kingdom and the patient endurance that is in Christ Jesus, was on the island called Patmos on account of the word of God and the testimony of Jesus. I was in the Spirit on the Lord's day, and I had heard behind me a loud voice like a trumpet saying, write what you see in a book and send it to the seven churches, to Ephesus, to Smyrna, to Pergamum, and to Thyatira, and to Sardis, and to Philadelphia, and to Laodicea. Then I turned around to see the voice was speaking to me. And in turning I saw seven golden lampstands, and in the midst of the lampstands one like the Son of Man, clothed with a long robe and with a gold sash around his chest. The hairs on his head were white like white wool, like snow. His eyes were like flame of fire. His feet were burnished bronze, refined in a furnace, and his voice was like the roar of many waters. In his right hand he held seven stars, and from his mouth came up a sharp two-edged sword, and his face was like the sun shining in full strength. When I saw him, I fell at his feet as though dead. But he laid his right hand on me and said, fear not, for I am the first and the last, the living one. I died, and behold, I am alive forevermore, and I have the keys of death and Hades. Turn over to chapter 21. Reading from verse 1. Then I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven was the first earth and passed away, and the sea was no more. And I saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, come down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, behold, the dwelling place of God is with man. He will dwell with them, and they will be his people, and God himself will be with them as their God. He will wipe away every tear from their eyes, and death shall be no more. Neither shall there be mourning, nor crying, nor pain any more, for the former things have passed away. And he who was seated on the throne said, behold, I am making all things new. And he said, write this down, for these words are trustworthy and true. And he said to me, it is done. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. To the thirsty I give them the spring of water of life without payment. Chapter 22 from verse 6. And he said to me, these are trustworthy and true. And the Lord, the God of the spirits and the prophets, has said his angel to show his servants what must soon take place. And behold, I am coming soon. Blessed is the one who keeps the word of the prophecy of this book. I, John, am the one who heard and saw these things. And when I heard and saw them, I fell down to worship at the feet of the angel who showed them to me. But he said to me, you must not do that. I am a fellow servant with you and your brothers, the prophets, and with those who keep the words of this book. Worship God. And he said to me, do not seal up the words of the prophecy of this book, for the time is near. Let the evildoer still do evil, and the filthy still be filthy, and the righteous do right, and the holy still be holy. Behold, I am coming soon, bringing my recompense with me, to repay each one for what he has done. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the first and the last, the beginning and the end. Blessed are those who wash their robes, so they may have the right to the tree of life, and that they may enter the city and the gates. Thanks, Linda. Hope that's not a cough is not annoying you too much. One of these titles you see happen in this text that we've read is the Alpha and the Omega. But Jesus himself said he is the living one. He was dead and alive forevermore. Now we know that when you talk about first and last Alpha and Omega, that is Jehovah God. We know that. But it puts a different nuance on it when it says he was dead and now alive forevermore, because we know that God the Father did not die, only God the Son. So we are speaking here about God in his majesty, his Son. Those two little letters, Alpha and Omega, the first and the last letter of the Greek alphabet. We might say the same about the A to Z of the English alphabet. Everything is encompassed between that. There's nothing outside of that in our language and our understanding. Even though we might make up words, they still have those letters in there. And everything in Jesus Christ is contained within that sphere. He was before even the alphabet, and he's after the alphabet. But we understand that he is the beginning and the end. And in those texts that we read, we see that Christ is all knowledge. Everything we need to know is wrapped up in him. He is the source of all of our truth. He is the beginning of the truth and the end of truth. And through him, all of his promises of hope that we have, whether it be cancer, whether it be mental illness, whether it be other physical issues, whether it be stress, whether you are in distress, he is the one of promise of hope for you. He is bound up never. Some people say to me, he's bound up in creation. He's never bound up. He is beyond and above creation. And he is the spring where eternal water flows from and eternal life comes from. Do you get the picture how magnificent he is? As Omega, he is the end. Where is your goal under the end? Is to seek him and his glory. To enjoy him, to love him, to glorify him alone. Everything finds an answer in him alone. And that's difficult for human beings to see that. Because we think we have the answer to everything. I know when I talk to people, I've got a history of things that I can say, history of things I can do for people. I have certain skills, but at the end of the day, I pale into insignificance because of who Jesus is. The Word of God tells us that Christ is the fullness of God. When we go off on a trip, we use a GPS. Sometimes the GPS doesn't open very quickly as the person who's near me punches the information in. See, everyone assumes that might be Stella, and I'm not saying that. And we might go past where we're supposed to turn off. So we have to pull off on the side of the road and gather our thoughts and re-enter in the information. And it's very polite, turn left, back there 500 metres. But you see, the Bible navigates our direction. We can't afford to take a wrong turn when we understand who Jesus is. We can only find hope in him if we follow that true path before him. John 14:6 sums up that thought about our GPS, our navigation towards Christ. No one comes to the Father except by me, said the Son of Man. Now that's definite. There's no argument there. And if you're on some path to try and find God through other means, I'm sorry, it just doesn't cut it when it comes to faith in Christ. He is the one, the only one. And he is all that we need is wrapped up in him. There should be nothing outside the Alpha and the Omega that we desire to fulfill our desires. We are told by the Apostle Paul, in him we are fulfilled. Philippians 4:19, my God shall fulfill every need of yours according to his riches in glory in Christ Jesus. How can we possibly understand that richness when we're in so much distress on this earth? We're under so much pressure from those people around you. We're under so much pressure because the government trying to impose certain laws that we revile against. How can we possibly stand against those things? Well, the reality is he takes care of that. He is all that we need. You don't have a need outside of him, he says. He is all sufficient. No situation you are facing will exhaust him. It exhausts me sometimes when the pressures of life come on. But not this Jesus, not our Son of God, not our Saviour. You can never exhaust him. I want you to think about it. He deals with everybody's prayers right throughout this planet. He hears all of our prayers. He acts according to his will when he wants to. If you think that he gets exhausted and he's tired of you and he's silent, theologically that's wrong, because he's with you the whole time, for all time, forevermore, if you put your faith and trust in him alone. And we've seen in this title, this power, his power is unparalleled. When I think of Jesus' power, I think of creation. I think of revelation. I think of redemption. I think of history. Even in our personal experience, we think of Jesus. There's no one like him previously. There is none like him now. And there is none that will ever come after him like he is. It is impossible because he is God. Christ is the first and the last in creation. We said he makes all things new, a new Jerusalem, a new resting place, a new location. In him were all things created. He is before all things, Paul says in Colossians. The beginning of John's Gospel, it says, all things were made through him, and without him there was not anything made that was made. He is the Alpha and the Omega, the fullness of God who created all things. He is acquainted with all of us. Every day, every year, every moment. He is the Alpha and Omega of our redemption. The information might be lost on us if it weren't for the fact that Jesus Christ, our Lord, is in his rightful place, sitting down at the right hand of the Father. He went to the cross to complete the work on that cross. He made the path as our Alpha and the Omega to have his redemptive plan done and dusted. His suffering, his death, his burial, his resurrection tells us that it is done with. It is finished. Not I am finished. It is finished. And I like the comfort that the Hebrew writer gives us in 12:2. Looking to Jesus, the founder and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is seated on the right hand of the throne of God. I don't understand that. The joy that was set before him, us. Now, I love you guys. But when I compare us, me included, to Jesus, we get a different opinion. This Jesus, this one whom we love, who paid the price for our redemption far above us, cared enough about us enough, loved his created beings to come down and pay the price for you and I. How do you worship and follow him? Does that measure in the sense that we understand that our devotion is dependent on who he is, not what we can do? Yet we are to do things for him. We talked about ambassadorship. We talked about helping others see the light of Jesus Christ. We want other people to know the redemptive part. None of us would be so selfish that we would love Jesus Christ and look upon someone else and say, I don't like that person. I don't want them to know about Jesus. That doesn't make sense. It is he who is the one that drives the agenda. He gives everyone a whole new direction, a whole new set of possibilities. When I was in Australia earlier this year, I stayed at my sister's house for a week. She lives up in the Adelaide Hills. It's a beautiful property. And Colleen now lives alone, well, with two dogs who she thinks are more precious than her daughter, I think sometimes. And we play jigsaw puzzles. And I'm a bit mischievous with jigsaw puzzles. You ever done that, what I'm suggesting? I haven't even said it yet, and you all know what I'm going to say, right? But I don't just take one piece. I take about three or four. And I put them in my pocket. And I hide them. What are you shaking your head for, Diana? I'm sure that Michael's done that to you. And I put him in my pocket. And there in front of us is this magnificent big jigsaw puzzle. And Colleen goes searching for those pieces. And when she's gone, I put him in. And then I learn some new words shortly after that. But you see, that's what Jesus does in our lives. He puts the pieces of the puzzle together for us to say this beautiful picture. Do you see that? Are you mischievous like me? Without him, your puzzle is incomplete. That picture means nothing. It doesn't matter how much you look at that. You will always look at those empty pieces. That's what Jesus does for you. He reorders your life and makes the picture complete in him. He is the beacon of hope that we have. Revelation 5:9 says, and they sang a new song, saying, worthy are you to take the scroll and to open its seals. For you were slain, and from your blood you ransomed people for the glory from every tribe, language, and every people and nation. This whole world fits together in Jesus. Every believer, a part of the puzzle that comes together. We are connected to each other. We are interlocked in our relationship with Jesus, nothing else. I heard it once said to me once at a seminar, how many of these people in our churches would you hang out with had it not been for Jesus? Glenn and I would, because we like the right sort of sport. Isn't that right, mate? I heard a whisper over there, Glenn, but we'll pray for him later. You see, Jesus Christ is the one who perfects things, not man. What he starts, he finishes. I want you to remember that. What he starts, he finishes. He does not leave you floundering. Philippians 1:6 says, he which began a good work in you will perfect it until the day of Jesus Christ. I feel so inadequate a lot of the time. Yet I look at this verse and I say, he's doing a work in me. And I often think, I wish that it would happen a little faster. But I recognize it's his time. And I look back where we started and where we are and where we're going. God is working all things to his end so that we, that's you and I, should be conformed to the image of his Son, it says in Romans 8:29. That is the end of our goal. To be continually progressing and being more like Jesus. Being like him alone, less of the world. God is moving us. He's working in us. All at different degrees and at different times in our life. He is the one that stands by himself. For himself. And with us as his treasured prize. That we should be conformed to his image. And then he starts to help us to put these pieces together. In my home office, I've got a whole heap of bookshelves, all different topics of books, maybe three or four novels, and then the rest of them are all theological and different types of books. Some of those books help me understand the text better. Some of them help me understand leadership better. Some help me understand counseling better. Some help me understand devotionally my thoughts towards God. But all of those books, thousands and thousands and thousands of dollars worth, will never, ever replace the love and adoration I have for Jesus. They might help me understand who he is, but they can never replace my thoughts about Jesus of my own, that he saved me. He saved me from a fate that is death, not worse than death, it is death. He called me as his child. I am all sufficient. I get the sense that when John says he fell at his feet as though one dead, I get that sense. When you can fall down at Jesus' feet and he comforts you by raising you up out of your face, in the dirt, and brings you up, and he dusts you off, and he looks at you and says, you are my prized possession. You are the one that I died for, Daryl. Don't do the things you're doing. They are done with. I have forgiven you. I've got to listen to that. And you have to listen to that. The struggle for many is to try and make sense of this life. What does it all mean? How do I fit in? Where does life seem to fit? God said he is with us and he gives us peace. This life around is messy, confusing, and sometimes even vague. But Jesus is the only one that can put those pieces together for you. He is the only one that can shape your life. The description of the divine design, the great and perfect purposes of God, is that you and I should conform to his will. We have an opportunity. It says, come to me. Come to me. Come to me. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son. Whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. This is a gift that is given. A free gift. A gift that says, come and have a relationship with me. What does your relationship look like after you've accepted Jesus? Is your Alpha and Omega awe-inspiring? Is the one that holds all things together completely on your mind? Is he the one that's helping you with your life problems, or you're trying to use other methods to do that? His perfect purposes, yes, his perfect purposes are for you, not against you. Men and women all over this world are mixed up and confused, distorted, twisted, without any meaning until they say yes to the Lord Jesus Christ. And we shake our heads at some of the laws that are being talked about and getting passed at the moment. Because they don't have an objective morality. I think Christ is the author and finisher of all things, and we don't take things into our own hands. Even as a follower, as I said before, uncertainty and circumstances of life, we'll find that confusing. But we lean on Jesus. I don't know why, I've said this before a few weeks ago, I don't know why one of the most loveliest ladies I've ever met has dementia and in a hospital. And fell out of her bed and broke her hip. I don't know why my mate had to die in the circumstances that he did in that nursing home across the road. I don't know why my friend had to die of cancer. I don't know why I had to endure some stuff when I was young. But I know that Jesus brought me to New Zealand to shed hope for those who are suffering and perishing, and to build up the hopeful and to show the picture of how beautiful this man is. That is for certain. I can't understand those other things, but I lean on him because he's the one that loves those people more than I could ever love them. I want to ask you a couple of things through some statements, basically, not ask. May the Alpha and Omega be our first thought every morning as we read of his greatness and seek him in prayer. May the Alpha and Omega have your full allegiance, no matter what obstacles impede you. May the Alpha and Omega rule over your hearts and purify us from the sin that lurks and seeks to destroy. May the Alpha and Omega accept our service and as an offering of love, worship, and adoration. May the Alpha and Omega hold us in his hands both now and after he comes, when he takes us to be with him in heaven. Your destination is out of this world. Endure this world well. love Jesus, follow him, think of him well, love others as you would love yourself, all for his glory and not for your own. Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you for this day. We thank you as we wrap up this series, but not wrap up the Bible as we continually teach it on Sundays and through the week. But we thank you that we have been reminded of the power of Jesus' name. All of those things that are pieced together in his majesty as we worship him. We want to give him the glory that's due. We want to love him like we can love no one else, because he loves us like no one else can. I give you thanks for each one here, for the ones that are away. I thank you that Jesus came to pay the price for all of us. He is the first and the last, the beginning and the end. The one who died and lo as behold is alive forevermore. The one who every eye will see and every tongue confess. Whether on the good side of the ledger or the bad side of the ledger, they will see him and they'll be more pitied of who they've rejected. Let us not be one of those people here today, but say yes to Jesus. In the fullness of his glory, we give you thanks. Amen.